It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me. We have a terrific show today and some wonderful guests. I'm really excited about this next hour. I love the title of this program, It's All About Food. Every day when I take my walks and everything I do in life, I realize that everything is connected to our food. It is all about food. Health, environment, animals, happiness, sadness, joy. There's just food is all around us, and it's just so much a part of our lives. And that's why I love talking about food choices and making informed decisions about our food, because it makes so much difference in our lives. Just by what we put in our mouths, we can make the difference between a happy, healthy, long life, feeling vibrant and energetic and having clarity and being creative, versus feeling the complete opposite. I don't even want to go into it. So some of the things that are exciting today, more and more people are talking about healthy diets. There are all kinds of plant-based blogs, vegan and vegetarian blogs going on. The media is talking more about it. And there's a new documentary coming out, and we're going to talk about it today, Forks Over Knives. And I have with me, or I will have with me, Lee Fulkerson, the writer and director of Forks Over Knives, and Brian Wendell, the creator and executive producer. Are you with me, guys?
Hello.
Hello. Is that Brian?
Yes.
Oh,
hi,
welcome.
Karen.
Hi. And Lee, I think you were there and not there now. I'm not quite sure where he is. Okay, great. So, Brian, welcome to It's All About Food. You must be really, really excited. Forks Over Knives is premiering May 2nd, and today there's a huge buzz all over the Internet about you being featured on the Dr. Oz show. How does that feel?
It feels really great. It's been a really long journey for us, and we've had high hopes for the film from the very beginning. And it's nice to see that people are appreciating the film and the word is getting out there.
Well, you have a very strong community, the people that believe in health and wellness with food. Are so excited when pieces like Forks Over Knives come out and we all get behind it and promote it. So you, just from that end alone, you're starting with a really strong support base.
Yes, it's great, and it's great to have that base. And at the end of the day, we really want to invite everybody into the discussion, but certainly the people that are already here are certainly helping us get the word out there.
Of course, and that's the whole point of the film, I think, and I'm going to welcome what your goals and objectives are for the film, but we need more and more information to let people know that they can make a huge difference in their life. They can turn their health around for the positive, and it's so simple, and it's delicious.
Absolutely.
So what are your goals with this film? What would you like to see happen?
Ultimately, I'd like to really see that people get healthier and that they are able to make more informed decisions. You know, from the time we're very young, we've been led to believe that we need animal foods in our diet, that these are actually necessary components of the diet. Well, in fact, I think we're starting to see evidence that really the opposite is true, that when we leave these foods out, that our health improves. And so I think if the education level out there on this topic gets better and people live healthier lives, that will be an objective that would be met.
Now, I was reading somewhere that some of the inspiration behind this film, you were reading the China study. So how have plant-based foods affected your personal life? When did you get on the path for, and I'm assuming that you're a part of what's promoted in the film?
Yes, I am. It's been a 10-year journey for me on plant foods, and shortly after I went on a plant-based diet, on a whole food, and I did mostly a whole food plant-based diet, I felt better, and in some ways I was kind of a little upset about things because I've been led to believe that these foods are so healthful for so long, and I've been drinking a lot of milk, trying to get my calcium, and eating meat for protein. And then by leaving those foods out, I've just felt so much better. And there was something in me that just wanted to share the joy. And here I am 10 years later, about to come out with a film on the topic, and already people who have seen the film and have made changes to their diet have been writing and saying how much better they feel.
Right. Well, it's really apparent to me that most people are affected by what they see in the media, what they read in the press, what they see in their magazines, what they're seeing on the internet, and what's out there in the films and on television. And the more and more we see certain information, the more we believe it, whether it's true or not. And unfortunately, the media's been putting out for such a long time information that isn't necessarily helpful or healthful. And you have some little clips in the film showing how people had seen a lot of this information decades ago, promoting milk, milk for babies rather than nursing, and just so much stuff has been subliminal in a way, building up on what we believe is true, and that's why this film and so many others like it are so important.
Yes, I certainly agree, and it is something that has perpetuated over time. And like you said in the film, we show going back people, in commercials saying the importance of calcium, and then you still see people today of getting, getting their calcium from dairy sources, and you still see people today doing it, and we try to show that in the film, how that's transpired over literally generations.
Is there a group that you're targeting in this film that you're most interested in getting the message out to?
Really, it's for everybody. I really didn't think too much about targeting, but obviously I think the people that are going to be most urgently moved by the film are people who have these health maladies that can be prevented that can be treated with this diet. So, but no, I think this is for everybody.
Right. Hey, Lee Folkeson, you're now on with us, writer and director of Forks Over Knives. Welcome. I bet you're excited.
Oh, certainly. Absolutely.
So you were both on Dr. Oz?
Yeah, I was on Dr. Oz.
Okay.
Brian was in the background being my cheerleader coach.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet because it's airing right now in my neighborhood, so I've got it recorded. That must have been a really fun experience.
It was nerve-wracking and exciting and fun all at the same time.
I had my 2 minutes of fame on Dr. Oz earlier last year. Did you get the nice little hummus vegetable plate in the dressing room?
I got the hummus vegetable plate in the dressing room and the water and all of his minions and staff running around being extremely efficient and they couldn't have made the experience more fun.
Great. Well, I really hope it brings a lot of people to the theaters to see your film. It's really important. And then will there be a DVD of it as well that comes out?
Yes, there will be a DVD. The DVD is expected to be released late summer, it could be late August or September. Really depends on the length of the theatrical run, but there will be a DVD.
So were you like just over the top excited when Bill Clinton got on board with this diet and promoted Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn?
Yeah, I was hoping that he would join our PR team. So it was a great moment when he did come out because I think it lended credibility because people know to the cause because people know that Bill Clinton tends to research things extensively, and the fact that he looked at this with so much care and came to the conclusion that he can treat his own heart condition with this diet was tremendous validation to what we were doing, and the fact that he cited the two doctors in our film as being the compelling, as having supplied the compelling evidence for him to make these changes was just incredible.
I know for a long time many of us have been screaming at our televisions wanting to get Bill Clinton on a healthier diet, especially when he had his two heart attacks, I think. Didn't he have two?
I think he had one, but then he had a follow-up stint several years later.
Yeah, he had two issues. But and I remember Dr. John McDougall, who is in your film, Forks Over Knives, had written a number of open letters to Dr. Clinton, kind of encouraging him to get on a plant-based diet. So however he got the information, it was a beautiful thing.
It was interesting. Dr. McDougall had wrote years ago that even if he had President Clinton didn't change his diet, he'd likely be back for a procedure within 5 years. And I remember when Dr. McDougall wrote that. And sure enough, and unfortunately, President Clinton didn't do that, and he did come back for another procedure. Because a lot of times, there's certainly, and this is something you could talk to Dr. Esselstyn about, but a lot of times these bypass surgeries, except in emergencies, really don't prevent new heart attacks or new heart issues. They tend to relieve angina pain, but they don't tend to really deal with the underlying cause.
They don't solve the problem. And there was some... I think it was Dr. Esselstyn mentioned in the movie something that I've heard numerous times that really, I think, makes the point. When people talk about a plant-based diet being extreme, eating fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, raw nuts and seeds, that's extreme. And yet cracking your sternum open, cutting the front of your chest open and doing bypass surgery, that's not extreme.
That's one of the moments we get the most comments on in the film, I must say.
Yeah, well, people need to hear that over and over and over. Now, Lee, we were talking a little bit with Brian about his journey to a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. Where are you on the food continuum?
Well, I am a plant-based diet eater now.
How did that happen?
Well, it happened as a result of the film.
Right.
Even though I was intellectually convinced that there was evidence in favor of it after I'd read the books and started working on the film, I really had no intention, at least consciously, of changing my diet. Then we went to interview a couple of doctors who were going to be treating some test patients in the film, and we decided to shoot that interview as I went to interview the doctors just to see how they would be on camera, basically. And while I was there, as part of the interview process, I let them give me a checkup. And when I got my blood test results back, I was shocked in a bad way about my blood work numbers. My cholesterol was up at 254 or something like that. And I was in bad shape. And so I decided to go on a plant-based diet for 12 weeks and see how it went.
Right. Well, there are just so many stories like that, and people love to hear them. People love to see real people turning their lives around. It's very inspirational. I often talk about the huge numbers that are involved, people that are dying of different diseases so unnecessarily, but we're overwhelmed with numbers, and we love to hear personal stories, and that's a nice part of the film.
And one of the things, one of the reasons I would add that we did that really was because we it's one thing to see the science, but science really doesn't mean anything unless there's a practical application to it. And the fact is that that we could, literally just pull people off the street and put them on a plant diet, and these people are sick, and in a matter of weeks they turn themselves around. Their heart conditions get better, their diabetes conditions get better. Is really a compelling part of the story. It really is.
So the answer is so easy, and yet, why is it taking so long to get the message out? Is it just money?
Lee, do you want to take this one?
Well, I would say, coming from an historical base, I'm kind of a historian kind of a guy, I'd say there's a whole lot of cultural inertia there, and tradition about these kinds of ways of eating that go back a long time, but by now, they are backed by huge amounts of money and huge business interests who have no intention of wanting to change things.
Mm-hmm.
They people that are in charge tend to like the status quo, and so anything that comes along to upset the status quo is something they don't particularly care for, and this is upsetting the status quo.
What I like about your film is it focuses mostly on health, and for many people, that's what's important. There seems to be this triangular approach to encouraging people to get on the plant-based diet path. So there's the health angle, there's the environmental angle, because we keep learning more and more that factory farming of animals is devastating on the environment in terms of the resources and the pollution and the global warming that it creates. And then there is what to me is the most important thing, but not necessarily to everyone else, and that is the pain and suffering we cause to other animal species that we share this planet with, that we use for food animals. Okay, and so the health angle is great. A lot of, yes?
I was just saying, for the record, I feel that's an important issue as well, and we do touch upon it in the film. It's just that it's the health issue is just such a big topic that we really wanted to focus on that for this film. But there's other great films out there that do address the animal issue, which is definitely a big thing, and is also the issue with the environment. But again, the health issue seemed to us to be it needed its own film, in our opinion.
Absolutely. Who came up with the title? I love Forks Over Knives.
That was me. Actually, a friend came up with Fork Over Scalpel, and that turned into Forks
mm-hmm.
Over Knives.
No, it's so beautiful. Really, I love it. It says it all.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, one of the things I was getting with, I don't know if you're familiar with some of the proposed legislation in the House and in the Senate that's trying to make it illegal or a felony or some criminal act to go into some of the animal factory farms and take footage of the horrors that are going on. And it's just frightening. It's like Big Brother magnified. I don't know how you feel about it, or one of the good things about this is it's a different angle, and it's accomplishing the same goal, but a different approach.
Mm-hmm.
We need it all. I don't know. It's just scary. And then we have what our government also doesn't seem to make the connection. We keep talking about our budget and how we need to reduce costs, and nobody's talking about let's get this country healthy because our health care costs would disappear.
Mm-hmm. I know.
By the way, on the undercover camera issue, I would just say there's nobody out there worrying about people videotaping the growing of potatoes or mangoes.
That's right.
That's
doing
right.
That secret with undercover cameras.
Yeah, because we can see what's going on. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Do you have future film plans?
We Lee and I have talked kind of in broad strokes about other ideas, but right now we're really focused on this. Getting this film out is just a very, very big project, and the good news is a lot of people like the film, and there's a lot of demand for it, and that really keeps us busy and focused on this right now, because we're just kind of we're a small group of independent filmmakers, and right now we just have to have all our energy here to make sure that this one does well.
Absolutely.
Do you have families? Each one of you are they supportive of the diet? Are they participating? Have you had? I always like to know what's going on at the individual level, because that's one of the areas that's really difficult for people when their family members aren't on board.
In my case, a lot of my family is actually.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my brothers are. My younger brother and I went vegan at the same time, and my older brother just in the last year. And then my dad and his wife are both plant-based eaters within the last year and a half, just when I got into this project. But all of them have supported me 100% from the beginning, and that has really, really helped us in the making of this project, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That was Brian.
That was Brian.
Yeah.
For me, my mom is not plant-based, but she's trying to move in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I've given her the China study to read, and she's finding it very interesting, but she's making slow progress.
Right.
So I think when I get a copy of the DVD of the movie, I'm going to sit down and show it to her and then make the big push then.
You've done a lot of interesting films, and I want to encourage the listeners to go to the website forksoverknives.com. You can find out about the film, you can read about the cast and crew, and you can get the biographies on my two guests today. But Lee, you've been involved in lots of other films. Have they impacted you in the same way?
No, not at all. Many of them I'm very proud of. They were all done for television, and there's loads of things. I mean, I'm still very passionate about history, and so a lot of historical documentaries I've done, I'm very proud of. But this is just a completely different animal, and has touched my life personally in a way that those other films haven't. I mean, I never changed my diet or my lifestyle as a result of doing any of the other movies. So I've got to say that this one stands out in that regard.
I'm glad to hear that. I've heard numerous stories of people that are involved in work. What's the actor that was in the movie Babe, James? Help me with his name, the one who played the farmer. Anyway, he went vegan after getting involved in the film. And
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, please.
I was going to say, one of the amazing things is that so many of the people that worked on this film started out as omnivores, if you will, have changed their diet. It's been absolutely incredible. I mean, everybody from the producer and co-producer, some of the editors, even a new member of my marketing team watched it. We had the gentleman who did the music composition from his house.
Mm-hmm.
Just from doing the music, changed his diet, as well as his wife and their daughter changed their diets. So it's amazing how people have evolved who've worked on this project when they've come across this material. It's been very impactful in people's lives.
Well, you have to feel really good about that, and that's the whole point, getting the truth out. And it's so obvious once you put it all together, and then you've got two really heroes in my book, Dr. Esselstyn and Dr. Campbell. They're both such good men.
Yes.
And I love how you parallel their stories, because they are in so many ways so similar. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't look identical, but they're tall, slim, handsome. They're all approaching 80, and just amazing, amazing men.
They are, and it was a great blessing in our for the movie that their stories happened to parallel so well, because that just made it a great thing to hang that movie on.
Okay, so is there anything else you want to add? I'm waiting for Dr. Campbell to join us. It's just about time for him to come on, but he's not here yet. So anything you want to add about the film, or invite people to know about?
I would just say that we are in theaters. We're in New York and L.A. May 6th, and we're in 20 markets beginning May 13th. We're in 20 markets we enter into between May 13th and May 20th. But we are planning a significant expansion of the release after that, and we hope to be all over the country by June.
Is there any plan to target some of the government to try and get some of our representatives to see the film, get involved, and learn this information?
You know, I think my kind of immediate goal is just to get it out in a mass way, because I think the politicians will follow. It's kind of funny that they're called leaders, but
they're followers, absolutely.
But they really are followers, and the change isn't going to happen in that realm until the people start requesting a change. And right now, I'm just focused on getting the movie to the people.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Lee Fulkerson and Brian Wendell, the creators and writers for the new movie Forks Over Knives. Thank you for your time, and I wish you so much success with this film.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you.
Okay, go to ForksOverKnives.com. Now, I would like to welcome Dr. T. Colin Campbell. Dr. Campbell, are you with me?
Sure I am. Thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
It's good to talk to you again. You're one of my heroes.
Oh, thank you.
So, how are you handling all of the excitement that's going on over your film?
Oh, it's just a lot of fun. I'm really happy to see that there are more and more people getting interested in this idea, and the film has played a major role in causing this to happen.
You know, you won't remember this, but the first time I met you, it was in 1996. I had come back from living in France, and I wanted to get more involved in the veg community. And a bunch of us drove up to Cornell, and you were having a meeting with Jay Dinshaw and Freya Dinshaw and a number of other people. I'm not exactly sure what we were talking about, and there weren't many people there. But remembering that, I just am so impressed with how long you have been on this path, and you've been involved in so many major events and big projects, as well as the little ones, and you just support them all with a great amount of integrity, and you're just an amazing individual.
Well, thank you so much. I like science. That's what it's all about. It's a lot of fun.
So, you've done a great amount of work. I invite people to go to your website, tcolincampbell.org, and also thechinastudy.com. One of the things I was just talking about with Lee and Brian is the family. And you have your lovely wife, Karen, and your son, Thomas, and you all seem to be together on the same path. I mean, they've been a part of this whole plant-based journey. Has it always been this way? Have they always been with you?
Obviously, our family has been a close family for many, many years, but we really got into eating this way starting in the late 70s, early 80s, sort of finished up the task, I guess, along around the late 80s, maybe 1990, when we went, you know, went the whole way. We actually have five grown children, five grandchildren, another one on the way, and spouses, and actually we're all 100%. I mean, 100% in the sense that all of us really do this.
Wow.
So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that certainly helps. I know a lot of people struggle because they can't get their family members on board, and you're really a great model.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, of course, I had the advantage, too, of being in the lab and being in the scientific community and really seeing it and talking about it. Maybe sometimes my family are getting tired of me talking about it. I don't know. but in any case, you know, it was impressive, and so as we all learned it, we learned it kind of together in a way.
Now, I want to know, why aren't you just sitting back and taking it easy now? You just keep at it. You keep putting this message out there. You just are nonstop working on and on.
Well, I don't feel like sitting back and just resting, I guess. I don't feel like saying my time is up. I really want to, you know, continue working at it, especially when, you know, there's so many people now, really key people that I'm getting an opportunity to visit with and meet, and who are, you know, getting excited about it. And I think there's nothing more gratifying than meeting people who choose to try this.
Yeah, it's magical.
Not really knowing what to expect, I think, in a lot of cases. And they turn around and they get these remarkable results. And that is gratifying when you see people getting well.
Right.
Nothing better.
We really live in this crazy sci-fi kind of world, don't we?
That's right.
The solution is so simple, and so many people just are resisting, and it must be frustrating. But on the other hand, those that go, and you have so many cases on your website, you've got all kinds of information and people's stories talking about how the plant-based diet has helped them. It's a beautiful story.
Well, thank you.
So we were talking a little bit about Bill Clinton before, and that must have felt very gratifying that he was influenced by your work.
Yeah, and it surely was. I mean, we could hardly get a better voice than that, I think. And I've since referred to him one of the greatest scientists that's come along in the last two or three centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kidding, but in any case, I mean, he really has done probably, we honor him as a sort of honorary scientist these days.
Well, he's smart. I don't think anyone questions that he's smart, and I just wonder why he didn't get this information sooner.
Well, it's interesting you should ask that question, because he first heard about it, at least for me, maybe 3 years before or so, 3 or 4 years before, when a mutual friend of ours, the former governor of North Carolina, Jim Hunt, we were together on a board, and Jim had asked me for a couple copies of the book and get them autographed, and he was going to give them to President Clinton, and he did, and I got a handwritten note back from him. But then I wasn't sure how much he had actually read it, because I hadn't personally met him except one occasion when I didn't talk about that. But in any case, he had it, and I heard him make comments a couple of times on the TV, referring to some specific facts. I said to myself, I said, you know, that's right in our book. I'm wondering if he's read it. That went on for, as I say, 2 or 3 years, and finally then I got word that he took it seriously. I guess his daughter really played a role in that, too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay, so did you have fun being on Dr. Oz again?
Yes. that was certainly fun to join my good friend, Dr. Esselstyn, and Dr. Bernard, and Lee came along. That was great to be interviewed as well, and Rip, yeah, the whole several of them. That was great fun.
I want to talk a little bit about your book, The China Study, because it's a phenomenal work. And what I enjoyed most about it was all of the work you've done with the government, sitting on panels and being surprised again and again how people were making the wrong decisions, kind of in support of their corporations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that activity was extraordinarily educational for me, because I could see, you know, over a period of 20 plus years, where science gets interpreted, if you will, into public information, public policy. And I was chagrined, I must admit, to see how just a turn of the words and adjectives and things like that, and setting the numbers a little bit differently to reflect, you know, a particular point of view, really could have major effect in terms of public information. And I really found it not fun. That part, that part of it was distressing, I think, that we just couldn't speak out.
Did the people, do you think they understood the science, or did they not want to understand the science?
Combination of things. I mean, the panels that I was sitting on obviously included a variety of scientists, some of whom really hadn't worked in the area I had worked in that much. So I think on their part, they thought they were saying the right thing and being reasonably conservative in saying it. And that's one of the features of a panel like this. If you get 10, 15 people on a panel, oftentimes the report comes out sort of meeting the least common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to be quite conservative, and people are not unwilling to go beyond what they think is really true. So there's just that sort of that kind of philosophy that exists on these panels. But then there were people, too, that I knew who, quite frankly, I knew who were associated with the industry and getting paid for it, and that's where their bread and butter seemed mm-hmm. to be. And so they would say things that clearly reflected their personal biases, or I should say maybe their professional biases. So there was, it was a combination of things. And the other thing that I'm writing a second book now that I'm trying to explore this idea a bit, we all live within this cocoon, this paradigm, you know, of Western thought mm-hmm. about health and about the role of food in health. And it's a paradigm that has been cultivated for decades, even more than a century. And it's gotten to a point now where, you know, most of the people in the population sort of, in a sense, know something, when in fact they really don't.
Right.
But, you know, and so we go around saying these like kind of things to each other. And, I mean, I was part of the game, too, growing up. And so some of the things that we ran across in the laboratory were quite shocking to me. I mean, I said, you know, what's going on here? Let's explore this further.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of trying to cut through the borders or go beyond the borders of what we tend to think is difficult at times.
Well,
it really is.
Yeah, you have to commend yourself to have been open to the information that you found, because as you're saying, there's actually been studies talking about scientists how even though they think they're designing their experiments objectively, there's something underneath that puts a subjective slant on it, no matter how.
There surely is. I mean, we like to think that science is objective, and I think the vast majority of them try to be so, but they're still encumbered.
Yeah.
In this, you know, with the boundaries, with this environment, invisible boundaries, and they're kind of stuck there. I owe a lot of this to my father, I have to say. He's since passed away many years ago, but he only had 2 years of education, actually.
Mm.
And I was the first to go to college, and he was anxious for me and my brothers to go to school. And he always used to say, he was a very honest man, had a great reputation in his farming community. He used to say, you know, always tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I was close to him. I was the oldest. And sometimes I wondered about his advice, you know, because if you're telling the truth, as you saw, it gets you in trouble.
Get you in trouble. Yeah, yep. And you have gotten in trouble a few times.
Yeah, it's. But anyhow, that's obviously that's the only way to live, in my view. Is just.
That's right. Be true.
Yep.
Well, we love you for that and all the work that you've done and all the people that you have definitely helped. So where do you see us going as a society? Do you I think it's there's a change happening. Is it going to happen soon enough? Our healthcare costs are so tremendous.
I think actually things are going to happen faster than what we realize.
Mm-hmm.
We really do, for two or three different reasons. You just mentioned one, and that is the great pressures that we now feel as a society. You know, our healthcare system is in the rut.
Yep.
I mean, we've got to make changes, and a lot of people know that. It'll break the bank. There's no question about that. So that kind of pressure exists, and coming from people who never would have thought about food in this way, but they're certainly interested. And I sense that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
I don't read about it, but I'm glad you sense it.
I really do, and I've given, gosh, more than 400 lectures, I'm sure, since the book came out. And I speak mostly now to medical conferences and medical schools, and so I'm really gratified to see the professionals beginning to, you know, sort of step up and say, wait, what is this you're talking about kind of thing?
Wow.
And that's kind of fun. So I think there's things that are changing because of the pressures that exist, but I'll say there's a second reason, and that is that the technology we have today to communicate is extraordinary, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with the network of social media technologies and other kinds of communication that we have at our fingertips, word spreads about things very fast.
Yeah, well, we're definitely seeing that with the political climate in the Middle East. And
Absolutely.
It's like wildfire.
Well, let's make our own revolution here in this country in an area of health.
Woo-hoo!
You know, I mean, that's that, and I know that this is all possible,
mm-hmm.
because all people need to do is to try it, see what happens.
Yeah, the amazing thing is there's really no cost, individual cost involved. It's just about changing what you're eating, and
right.
it doesn't really require anything except one's own personal determination.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's really inspiring. Okay, we have things to look forward to.
Well, we have, I should say, partly answer your question, we have some, my sons and I, and our daughter, too. We have some ideas that we're working on now, some very specific ideas that I'm anxious to sort of flesh out and talk about, you know, maybe in the next few months or so.
Okay. Will we hear about that on your website, maybe, when
we
come up?
Yeah, we'll get around to doing it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time, first off, but, I mean, we have some clear things in mind. I just wanted to leave that, and we're not floundering, I guess you used to say.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some very crystallized ideas, I think.
Okay, well, that's exciting. I'm glad to hear that there are things on the horizon to look forward to, and I know that if it's coming from you, it's going to be good.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, well, do you have any other words to share on the film, Forks Over Knives, before I let you go?
No, just to say something positive, I really sincerely mean that, because I think my friends Brian Wendell and Lee Fulkerson and John Corey and company, and Allison Boone, that was the crew.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't done this kind of thing. Well, Lee Fulkerson certainly did. He's a real pro, and John Corey had been in the business. But Brian pulled us all together. And they've just done a fantastic job. I can't compliment them enough.
Okay, well, we're really glad they made the film. We need more and more and more films like this. People need to be flooded with this information, because, unfortunately, people need to hear this information over and over before they get it.
Can I mention one thing?
Absolutely.
A second. And on our foundation, we have a foundation that's just for the purposes of education at the present time, and we have an online course on there that started out with lectures I had been giving at Cornell, in a course, and then later was joined by some other people we got involved too. That course is online, and we're offering it, the foundation is offering it jointly with the company owned by Cornell University, who does online courses, eCornell,
mm-hmm.
at our foundation and that arm of Cornell. We put on this course, and it's been up now for maybe 2.5 years. It's just fantastic, and we just got the way it's really flying off the handle. We just got accreditation for 19 continuing medical education credits for doctors. So doctors who don't get trained in this area are now taking it and are starting to really come. I'm not sure how we're going to keep up with it. But
wow, that's great news. That's exciting. Great.
It's a very exciting opportunity.
Okay. Well, tcolincampbell.org, that's the website. Go
right
there and learn. Thank
okay.
you, Dr. Campbell.
I appreciate it.
And I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we're back, we're going to be talking to the other doctor featured in Forks Over Knives, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Carol Brier, host of Community Currency, connecting people, ideas, important information, nurturing human renaissance, seeking to transform disintegrating empire into healthy, problem-solving, creative, evolutionary, peaceful communities. To hear us, listen every Thursdays, 5 to 6 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Allison Rose Levy. I've been a health journalist for 25 years. I'm currently blogging on the Huffington Post. After more than two decades of studying, talking about, exchanging, and reporting on integrative well-being and collective psychology, I think we're ready to step up to the next level. On Connect the Dots, we're going to reach beyond the merely individual look at health to look at the community, societal, and global level of what we need to address to better our health. Please join me Saturdays at noon Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network, and I look forward to dialoguing with you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Helen Caldicott, and you can hear my program, If You Love This Planet, right here on the Progressive Radio Network every Sunday at 3 p.m. Please join me as I interview a huge variety of special guests from around the world about a range of topics, including the health of the planet and prescriptions for survival. So, if you do love this planet, tune in to the Progressive Radio Network every Sunday at 3 p.m.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network, your voice for independent views.
Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And we're here talking about the new documentary Forks Over Knives, which will be premiering in theaters on May 2nd. And my next guest is Dr. Caldwell B. Esselstyn, Jr., and he is the author of a wonderful book, Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. He's got a wonderful website, heartattackproof.com, and is associated with his great work with the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute. Welcome, Dr. Esselstyn.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Well, I was just talking to Dr. Campbell, and both of you are two of my favorite heroes.
I heard a good portion of that.
And I have had the good fortune to hear you a number of times and meet Anne as well, your wife, and the two of you are a remarkable team, and I love all the work that you've been doing for a long time. Speaking of family, you have four children, and I'm trying to glean from some of the information from the website, but you've been on this health path for over 25 years. The plant-based food path, let me say.
That's right.
And has your family been along with you on the path all along?
Totally.
Because that's always a challenging thing when the family, especially the children. And so your son, Rip Esselstyn, is right there, too, with his own book and spreading the message as well. So you're a great team. You've seen some amazing things with heart disease, and the story. Some of the story is talked about in the film Forks Over Knives. But what is it like when people come to you and they've basically been given a death sentence where there's no hope?
Well, that was sort of the group that we started with.
Mm-hmm.
But we had considerable guidance from the global review that I had done before we ever started the research. Because even today, now, if you were a cardiac surgeon and you were to take your business and hang out your shingle in rural China or the Papua Highlands in New Guinea,
mm-hmm.
or the Central Africa or the Tarahumara Indians in northern Mexico, forget it. You better plan on selling pencils.
There's no business.
Heart disease is virtually non-existent in these nations because their cultures, by heritage and tradition, are plant-based, and they just are not eating any of the building blocks for heart disease. And that's what is so striking. When you take patients, even those who have failed their first or second bypass, they failed their first or second angioplasty, they're too sick for these procedures, or as in our original group, there were five who were told by expert cardiologists they wouldn't live out the year. Lo and behold, those five made it well beyond 20 years, and everybody after at 12 years who is totally compliant had put an end to any progression of their disease, and we often found striking reversal or regression of the disease. The body has a really incredible capacity to restore itself once that the injury is no longer occurring.
It has an incredible capacity, and it's relatively quick, isn't it?
Yeah. But as my friend Dr. Ornish will confirm as well, the patients who do it and do it completely are the ones that just absolutely sparkle. And we've just now been looking up over, not beyond our original research group, but we're just about to report on another over 200 patients where, again, with over 92% compliance, the disease is halted. It's ended. It's just so powerful to think that compared to what, sadly, we're doing today in heart disease, is we're using drugs and we're using procedures and we're using operations, which truly can be life-saving in an emergency or in a heart attack. But for the majority of patients, the reason they don't get well and they have to have their first or second stent and the first or second bypass is because even those who do these procedures will concede they don't treat the causation of the disease. And somehow, years ago, with physicians who were treating patients with heart disease, they kind of gave up on the idea that patients would ever change their behavior. And that's what we have challenged and found that it is totally untrue.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because I had a visit not too long ago with a cardiologist just for a baseline of a number of things, and I had a discussion with him, and he just kind of glossed over the first few things that you need for heart health, and he went diet and exercise and blah, 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 and you need to take these drugs, and why is it that so many cardiologists and doctors they really believe that people don't want to change, and yet I think if the doctors told them this is it, they would have a lot more motivation.
Well, there are a number of things obviously now that have come into play. One is the fact that most physicians have really, if they're seeing 20 or 25 patients a day, they won't have the time to do the counseling themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the passion for this. And if the truth be known, since physicians really never get training in nutrition, they really don't possess the skill set for it. So what is very frustrating to them is the most powerful tool that we have for ending this disease is something with which they are not familiar. Now, also, we can't overlook the fact that at the present time there is no insurance mechanism for a reimbursement for physicians who are committed to this counseling endeavor, and it's very hard for physicians to be enthusiastic about spending a great deal of time and effort on something for which they're not being reimbursed. But hopefully that will change as time goes on and insurance companies begin to come on board with this.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, and it has to change. You know, we read all the time about how our health care costs are probably one of the largest chunks in the country's budget, and we don't have better health care than other developed countries. It might even be worse than most of them, and yet we have the highest costs. We need to change.
Well, it could turn around in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Well, I think the thing that the reason that we feel that we can succeed with this is that right now we have sort of fine-tuned our counseling approach, and because so many of our patients come from out of state, when they come to the Cleveland Clinic Wellness Institute, where I direct the prevention and reversal of cardiovascular disease program. These people obviously can't come to Cleveland and stay for a number of days at a time. So we, about a decade ago, pretty well perfected this very intense counseling seminar, which lasts for about 5 hours. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning, finish at 2. They give them a 44-page handout, a couple of the scientific articles, and a signed copy of the book. Plus, we go over in great detail exactly what is the science behind what has caused their illness. We do this with an opportunity for them to understand the presentation by sort of getting rid of the medical jargon, or where necessary, converting the medical jargon to terms mm-hmm. that a layperson can
understand
and be comfortable
wow.
with. And then they really grasp. I mean, here are patients, many of whom have had failed bypasses and failed stents, or they've had stents and bypasses, they don't want to have any more of these, or they've had a heart attack and they just simply want to end this. It's very, very exciting for them to recognize the fact that, wait a minute, here's a physician spending 5 hours on this. I really begin to understand that this is pretty darn important. This is how I got the disease in the first place. For instance, if you happen to get poison ivy, we don't spend the day talking to you about different potions, creams, and salves mm-hmm. that we can keep putting on this throughout the summer. We are often guided by saying, you know those funny little three leaves in the backyard?
Yeah.
I want you to crawl through those. And it's something that really has been a basic covenant of trust since the days of Hippocrates, that physicians would really inform patients of the causation of their disease. And when they do this, we have an incredible track record of success. But here we have the leading killer of women and men in Western civilization, where literally physicians are not doing this. And if the patients should bring it up, they are often insulted.
That's true. Now, I hear this a lot. You probably do too, but people say we're all going to die. So why don't I just eat what I want to eat?
beg your pardon? You mean I really would like to spend the last 15 years of my life drooling out of a wheelchair while I've had this stroke? Come
mm-hmm.
on. We can do better than that.
Now, how quickly can things turn around if someone has high blood pressure, for example, and what do they have to do to make a change?
Well, everybody's different, whether it's high blood pressure they've got, or whether it's the diabetes type 2, or whether it's cardiovascular disease, of the carotids of the brain, the vessels to the legs, or the coronary arteries to the heart. But what I try to really do is get patients to understand the following. That what we understand about heart disease today, and all experts pretty well agree on this, that what really breaks down at the outset is that we begin to injure the lifeguard, or the guardian of our blood vessel, which is that marvelous layer of cells that is one cell layer thick. And it has this enchanting name, the endothelium. And the endothelial cell has a remarkable job of making this amazing molecule that protects us. And it's a gas. It's called nitric oxide. And that's where it comes from. You don't get this from a pill. You get nitric oxide from your food and from the endothelial cells themselves manufacture it. But what was so sad about our country that we see at the start is that if you look at the autopsy results of our GIs who die in Korea and Vietnam, by age 20, 80% of them will already have coronary artery disease that you can see without a microscope.
Wow.
And somebody would say, well, wait a minute, maybe that's the stress of the military. So 40 years later, it was repeated, this time with women and men between the ages of 17 and 34. Lo and behold, the disease is now ubiquitous.
Mm.
They have, those are people who have died of accidents, homicides, and mm-hmm. suicides. And so nobody's really escaping. Now, it's not enough at that age to yet have the clinical cardiac event, but there it is already established. Why? Because going back to what I just said about the endothelium and the nitric oxide, every time certain foods pass our lips, the endothelium is injured. And so the level of nitric oxide that we have when we're 5 and 6 and 7 years of age, which may be up at our as high as our eyebrows,
mm-hmm.
by the time we're teenagers, it's down to our waist, and by the time we're 50 and 60, it's down at our toes,
mm.
and there's not enough nitric oxide left to even protect us from making all these blockages. So what really happens to these patients, and this is a long way of answering your question, how soon, when patients just get it, and they stop every last morsel of food that's going to injure their endothelium, it begins to recover. And we often see patients who will either have a marked lessening or diminution of their chest pain within 10 days to 2 weeks, and sometimes it'll be completely gone.
Wow.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very impressive, and everybody's going to be a little different. The same thing applies to their blood pressure. As the artery begins to restore its elasticity, becomes more flexible and responsive, again, this in some patients may be several weeks, others it will take longer.
Right. There's a great graphic example in the film Forks Over Knives about the endothelium and how it works. Makes it very easy to understand what's going on. Okay, so let's see, we just have a couple minutes left, and I was commending Dr. Campbell, and I wanted to do that for you too. Here it is. You're at a time of your life where you've done so much incredible work, and you could just like sit back and relax and enjoy it all, and yet you're just nonstop, keep going, putting this information out there. What motivates you?
Well, I think that as exciting as my surgical career was, here I am, 10 years since I retired from surgery, and I find myself really more passionate about medicine than perhaps ever before, because I really feel that with the information that we have now, I mean, we don't really have to even discover anything more.
That's right.
We are at the cusp of what could absolutely be a seismic revolution in health.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a revolution that is not going to come because we discover another pill or because we discover another procedure or operation. This revolution can come about when we understand the need to show the public and get them to become educated with enough nutritional literacy that they can make the kinds of change of selection of nutrients that will protect them from having an absolute whole host of common chronic killing diseases, everything from diabetes, hypertension, obviously, heart disease, strokes, marked diminution of the common Western cancers of breast, prostate, colon, gallstones, osteoporosis, diverticulitis,
and on.
MS, rheumatoid, lupus, it just, allergies, asthma, it's very impressive.
I mean, don't you want to just burst sometime? You have the answer, you know, if the whole world would just get it, what an amazing thing this would be. It makes me want to scream sometimes, but you can't because people won't listen to you.
Well, no, and also that I think, as Colin mentioned, that we are fortunate. And I think that we were quite optimistic that because of the new electronic ways of communicating,
social media,
many people will be able to hear this message than before. And obviously, the tremendous work of Forks Over Knives, I was so taken with the generosity of Brian Wendell, who funded and who was a producer of Forks Over Knives. John Corey and Allison Boone and Lee Fulkerson, all who were deeply committed to make this a real goal of it, to try to share with the public some of the information that is out there and that is known. And, of course, we are up against a tremendous lobby of resistance here. Can you imagine when just today on national television, earlier on the Oz show, Mehmet Oz was with Neil Barnard and they were more or less going over very clearly the foods that one really should eliminate to gain optimal health, and this included meat, dairy, and oils. Well, can you imagine the tremendous a lack of enthusiasm from the people who are manufacturing those products. I mean, they're going to really fight,
yeah.
sort of, they're going to fight tooth and nail to hold on to the fact they want America to continue to consume these foods, which is going to guarantee that, sadly, millions will perish.
Well,
and so the economics of this get to be pretty exciting for
yes,
those who are
involved. Yes, exciting and interesting. And that's the end of our show. So I hope the fight is short and quick and we get to the good part sooner than later. But thank you so much. Thank you for all of your work. Visit heartattackproof.com to learn more about Dr. Esselstyn and his fabulous career. And go to forksoverknives.com to find out where you can see the documentary Forks Over Knives. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, Dr. Esselstyn, and have a delicious week. This has been It's All About Food. Mm-hmm.